Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. It's a science fiction Valentine on tap this hour. We start with Utopia Falls, a two new series Hulu launched this morning. Creator, executive producer, director R.T. Thorne, executive producer Andrea Gorbalova join me next in an internet radio exclusive. On Sunday night, Epix introduces the latest series version of a science fiction classic, H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds. Gabriel Byrne and Elizabeth McGovern co-star, and you'll hear Howard Overman, this version's creator, writer, and executive producer, next half hour, live from England. Also ahead, a new owner for Univision, Netflix shoes off Insatiable, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum. I'm simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio Speaker and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books and a special present they offer when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A happy and beautiful Valentine's Day to you, your family and friends, and welcome once again to the program All About Television. Great hour in store for you, wonderful guests from all over the place, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. Just get interactive with us by the phone. Use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. Of course, we have a chat room business as well, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. The room is SimonApple04 by name. We're delighted to have you post your comments in it. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. 28 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. And the people from Utopia Falls, which premiered earlier today on Hulu, will join us live from Toronto and Jamaica. That's Jamaica in the Caribbean after these news notes. An investor group led by former Viacom Chief Financial Officer Wade Davis is planning to acquire Univision Communications, the Spanish language media powerhouse. Talks between Davis's group and Univision are underway, according to the Wall Street Journal. Private equity firm Searchlight Capital is also part of this investor group and already has equity in another Spanish language network business, Hemisphere Media. The asking price by Univision, $10 billion. Davis exited Viacom before its merger with CBS was finalized last December. One of Netflix's most controversial comedy series got chopped today, Insatiable, starring Debbie Ryan and joined Burt Bax for alleged promotion of putting obese people down, was canceled after two seasons. One protest group's effort to force Netflix to drop Insatiable after one season attracted more than 100,000 signatures during July 2018. Ryan and other cast members claimed the series deals with obesity and peer pressure issues in an empowering way. Now some quickies. Sean Vanson and Daryl Fannin, both military veterans, will team up with Jimmy Kimmel on Adopted, a pilot proposed at ABC. TikTok and Instagram personality Dixie D'Arnelio will star in a new TV series, Attaway General. Dealing with teenage hospital volunteers, Attaway will debut this spring on Brax TV, available on Roku and other smart TV sets and devices, as well as on YouTube. A special benefit concert for Australian fire relief areas will be presented on Fox February 29th. Queen plus Adam Lambert, Michael Bublé, and Katie Lang will be performing. Olivia Newton-John hosts. And a shout-out to Young and the Restless star Eric Braeden. Next week begins his fifth decade. That's right, his fifth decade as business tycoon Victor Newman next week on Y&R. Congratulations to him. And that is news notes for today. Hulu had a double dip for people today. They premiered two new series. One was High Fidelity, based on the popular cult movie starring John Cusack way back when, with an interesting spin. And the other you're going to hear about right now is called Utopia Falls. It has a mix of science fiction, the environment, music, dancing, and even Snoop Dogg. Joining us live from Toronto, Canada, is the creator, director, and executive producer of the series, R.T. Thorne. R.T., welcome in.
How you doing, brother?
Very, very fine, thank you. And also joining us live from Jamaica, not the part of Queens, New York, but the part down under the Caribbean, is one of the executive producers of the series from Sonar Entertainment, the production company behind it, Andrea Gorbalova, I think I have it right. Andrea, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Simon, for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. RT, we'll start with you. How long has Utopia Falls been in the making for?
We've been kind of putting it together for I'd say better part of 3 years now. You know, Andrea and I met in Toronto. This is funny because she's where I usually would want to be right now, and I'm where she is. But anyway, we met in Toronto. Almost 3 years ago, right, Andrea? And then we got together and we had a nice little lunch and talked about trying to do something different. You know, yeah, that's where it started.
Yeah. And Andrea, what put your interest in this? Sonar, the production company you're involved with, has been doing some very interesting things of late. Mr. Mercedes, big hit on Audience Network. Coming up next week, I believe, is a new series that a lot of people are talking about, Hunters with Al Pacino in his first TV series role for television that is premiering on Amazon next Friday. What had you interested in this kind of a project?
I think, you know, I touched very simply on the fact, you know, Sonar has established themselves, you know, we established ourselves, you know, as a very kind of high-end, great, high-quality drama, adult production company. And really over the last couple of years, we've been really trying to kind of expand our demographic of viewers. And so decided to do something a bit younger, a little bit more fun, but, you know, as important and as interesting and certainly thought-provoking as anything else we do. So, you know, one of the most important things, and obviously us being, you know, an American company, but with you know, very strong Canadian presence as well, you know, we are, you know, multicultural country and society, and we wanted to do something that represented that, but in a very, you know, in an interesting but fun way, kind of encompassing people's love and beliefs. And when we met with RT to discuss this, he certainly have very, very specific idea about what he believes in and what he loves. And this is how this was created.
So what about your beliefs, RT, that decided this was a way to go to do a series that combines all these elements, science fiction, environmental concerns, young people, music, dance, and even Snoop Dogg?
Well, I'll tell you, I come from a, you know, first and foremost, I guess, you know, I'm a kid. I come from, you know, a Caribbean background. You know, so number one, that music culture is sort of built into my life. You know, grew up listening to all types of music in my house. Hip hop is a huge part of that as well. And so, you know, I've been a hip hop kid, and then I'm a comic book kid, and I love science fiction. I've been like that all my life. So all these kinds of things spun around. I also work with a lot of youth, you know, throughout my career, outreach to underprivileged youth and stuff. So I'm very, you know, dedicated to the community and sort of helping kids get different opportunities and seeing different opportunities as well. So the activism part was also part of it. And it just, you know, when Andrea came to me and talked about this this possibility of doing something different in this space, those three things sort of mixed together. All those things kind of mixed together, and I, you know, I sort of thought of sort of an idea where, you know, in the future where maybe we don't see a lot of representation from a lot of different. You know, people, different types of people. I thought it'd be interesting to have a series where young, diverse people go about changing their society through music, culture, and hip hop. All those things come together.
Once you decided to go forward with this, Andrea, what was the biggest challenge in terms of bringing RT's vision to life?
I think the most challenging moment, I mean, let's just be clear, there are a lot of challenges along the way, as any TV series, you know very well, it comes to experience. But I think the number one biggest challenge was kind of creating this whole entire series. And, you know, we were, and specifically because we wanted to be, you know, it's not going to be just another – white produced series that you know, kind of brings in all kinds of other non-white people into it. And I know I am white, so I can speak this way. I don't mean to offend anyone. But you know, so what we thought about it from the first moment we started on this, we said, what are we going to do? And it wasn't like, you know, Artie sat down and, you know, written the series out. We decided we sit down. The writer's room had 12 people. And we sat down. And the writer's room was also interesting because it was the craziest mix of people that you can imagine. It was people who have written, obviously we brought Joe on board, Joe Meluzzi, who's our showrunner.
Yeah, Joe Meluzzi's our showrunner.
Great,
yes.
You know, who is the most amazing, one of the most amazing writers I know. And, but, you know, with great experience within the sci-fi. And, you know, he was at first very hesitant, but, you know, kind of embraced our craziness and, you know, thought this could be, you know, it could be a great opportunity for even for him to stretch, you know, his wings. But then, you know, we had writers who never written TV series, but, you know, they came from different cultural backgrounds. Then we had, you know, so we had experienced writers, non-experienced writers. We had people from different cultures, from different demographics, you know, even, you know, age demographics. We just wanted to kind of have everything that we can potentially kind of bring into this room. And the most important thing was the challenge was that you couldn't find a showrunner who has written a series that's a mixture of sci-fi, hip-hop, music, dance performance, and teen audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying we're so brilliant because we came up with this at all. I'm just saying it hasn't been done. So when you're asking about challenges, that was one of the big ones. But that also created for one of the most fantastic experiences that could be. And the show kind of was birthed from there.
And the show is available right now on Hulu. It started this morning on Smart TV sets and Smart TV licenses all over the place. It's called Utopia Falls. There's two series that Hulu premiered today. The other is High Fidelity, the adaptation of the cult hit, the John Cusack, that I believe was in theaters around 2000 or so. We've got the creator, director, and executive producer of the series, R.T. Thorne, and he's in Toronto, and Andrea Garfalina, who's with us from Jamaica, down in the Caribbean. She's the executive producer for the production company Sonai Entertainment, that does a lot of great work, including Mr. Mercedes on Audience Network, and last year, the revival of Das Boot, who's the producers we had on this show. Anyway, they're both with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. The program All About the Tube. Simon Appleby with you live from New York. Happy Valentine's Day to you and everybody. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, make some love. Ring the phone, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Two wonderful episodes coming your way next week. We will be with you on Monday, President's Day. We got a good one for you. First of all, from The Flash, the popular CW series, we'll have co-star Victoria Park. We'll find out about what she's doing on that series and some other things as well, too. And then, earlier today, another television service launched called Soul Vision TV. It was put together for smart TV sets and smart TV devices. It's all about positive programming. We will have on Monday an exclusive live interview with its chairman, B.K. Fulton, and its vice chairman, Tim Reed. If the name sounds familiar, yes, the former star of WKRP in Cincinnati, of the excellent series Frank's Place, and of his wife, Daphne Maxwell Reed, used to run a production complex in Virginia called Blue Millennium Studios. B.J. Fulton, Tim Reed from the news programming service Soul Vision TV. They're with us live and exclusive, along with Victoria Park from The Flash, Monday, President's Day, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Archie, talk about bringing everything together. Talk more about the plot of Utopia Falls and then bringing all these young people together to act.
Yeah, you know, look, the plot essentially is it's sort of about the rediscovery of hip-hop and music culture in a society in the future that is very curated, very sort of controlled in its nature. And so, you know, we knew that we wanted to pull together a really diverse cast. You know, our two leads, you know, Aaliyah is mixed race, and Bodhi is a black character, you know, and then we have Hispanic character, Brooklyn, Mags is an Asian character. Sage is an Asian character. And we have an indigenous character by the name of Apollo. And that's sort of who makes up the crew. We cast super diverse. Obviously, we wanted to represent that on the screen. It's very, very important. Also, Robbie, who plays Tempo, rounds out the cast. And it was a challenge. I mean, it definitely was a challenge to pull together great actors that could also perform dance, but had the chops to sort of sell some of the storylines that we had for our young people as well. So it was a great challenge, but it came together amazing. I think we're blessed with a great cast. They all knock it out for us. It was tremendous. And then we had an extended, adult cast, who filled out, and they were all amazing as well. And then, the topper is of course Snoop Dogg voicing our living library, the archive, which sort of educates them to the history and the past.
By the way, the writer you're talking about is Robbie Graham Kunz, and we should point out that some of the other cast members are Robin Almar, Aiko Julian, who was in the Star series American Gods, Philip Lewinsky, he was on Supernatural, Humphrey Gonzalez, he was on Orphan Black, People Award and Emmy winning series for Tatiana Maslany's performance, of course, Devin Nicola from Degrassi, that franchise, and he went from Make It Pop, so he's the kid from Why You're on Earth. And you mentioned Joseph Mazzoli. Before he did your show, he did a terrific show on Sci-Fi called Dark Matter. He's got one of the cast members of that show, Jeff. Also on the show.
Yeah, Jeff plays Aaliyah's mother. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Andrea, talk about the fact that you – I'm sorry, go ahead, Joe. Go ahead, RT.
No. I was just correcting it, that's all.
You got it. Andrea, talk about again the idea of having a writer's room where you have people who are well steeped in television, like Joseph Mazzoli, who did Dark Matter, who also did the Stargate franchise for Showtime and later on Sci-Fi Channel. When you have people like that, and then you have people who are just beginning their role in television, how do you integrate them in such a way that they're able to get up to speed and do the kind of scripts you want?
I think, the process is, I mean, the writer's room was very much about discussing the storylines and the plot lines and the, development of the characters and the relationships and stuff. And that's where everybody contributed. You know, at the end, not every 12 people in a writer's room ended up writing scripts. You know, it was under a, Joe Show ran the series. You know, he was the overlord of every single script that came out for every episode. But we have had other writers write at the end. But really, it was all kind of conceived and created and built and developed within the writer's room. So. It is, it is, the fact is, it's you need to have experience to write good television. There is, it happens once in a million when, you find a writer that is going to write a whole series and it's going to be a fantastic one. Like, generally it's a craft that, like any other, that you have to own for years and years and you have experience. And Joe has that and more. And he's been, an incredible, it is at the end, the series is sci-fi, hip-hop, it's all the things we've talked about. But at the end, it is all about the characters and their relationships and about love and family and, friendships and believing in things and speaking up for yourself and, not kind of rolling over, just being told one thing and, never really having a voice for yourself and finding yourself throughout, growing up. So those are, universal themes. We just, Artie just put them into a very different environment. And we, everybody played with that idea, which was a lot of fun. And, things that, haven't been done before. So we're very proud of it.
RT, the early feedback you're getting today from people on social media and elsewhere, are they getting that message, the message you and Andrea are expecting to bring to everybody?
I feel so. You know, there's a lot, like a real groundswell of support and you know, desire to see it and stuff. It's been great actually this morning, just receiving, you know, so much, so many people sort of looking forward to it, wanting to see it, and wanting to see themselves on screen. And just looking for something different, which I think is, you know, that's one of the things that the series does really well, is sort of take genres that we know and sort of push them in different directions and allow, you know, I think a new audience or an audience that's been there looking for themselves to imagine and dream and get kind of inspired as well to see themselves. So it's been awesome. This morning has been it's been kind of a dream, man. It's great.
It must be a dream to also work with some very powerhouse talent for the music and dance sequences. You've got a Grammy Award winner who's producing the music sequences, and then for choreography for the dance sequences, you got the person who works with Candy B and Rihanna. How about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tanisha and Tanisha Scott for choreography, and Boy Wonder as our executive music producer, and his team, Nikhil, who was also our composer. It was incredible working with those two. I mean, they're sort of Toronto fam. I kind of know them from the music scene as well. Obviously, I'm you know, I came from a music video background, so I've known them for a while. But to have them jump in, you know, very eager to jump into something, you know, unique and cool and different, you know, was amazing. And and then, you know, of course, our you know, David Heyman, who you know, secured a lot of the classic and big time hip hop and other music that you hear in the series. You know, we've got some heavy hitters, you know, Notorious B.I.G., Kendrick Lamar, you know, to name a few, right? So it's just it's quite amazing to work with that kind of a team and put something like this together. It's great.
Also, Bill Withers and The Roots have music also playing.
Oh, yeah.
Episode.
The Roots are like, you know, that was like my favorite hip-hop group, like touring group before they were on Jimmy Fallon. These guys were, they came to Toronto probably like 10 times and I saw them. I was an avid fan of The Roots. And then, of course, you know, Bill Withers and, you know, we got some other stuff. We got Blondie in there, you know, like there's some tracks in there, man.
We are speaking with R.T. Thrawn. He is the creator, director, and executive producer, and Andrea Sokolova. He's the executive producer of Utopia Falls, the new series that premiered on Hulu earlier today, available on most smart TVs and smart TV devices. R.T. joining us live from Toronto, Canada. Andrea joining us live from Jamaica and the Caribbean. And they're both with us live for a few more minutes here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Appel with you live from New York. Delighted for joining us on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio, plus the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. You have some chats and thoughts in our remaining minutes with them. Make the call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Big 2-hour edition coming your way a week from today. We got some good people coming your way. First, the brand new Disney Channel series, Disney Fam Jam, will have executive producer and choreographer of those famous Parent Jam events, Bill Wright, will be with our first hour. In our second hour, we've got the executive producer behind a new National Geographic special premiering next weekend, The Hidden Kingdoms of China, narrated by Michelle Yeo. Ashley Hoppin will join us. And on Monday, a brand new service will premiere among the ABC owned television stations. It's a linear service called Localish. Yes, it sort of sounds like Blackish, Grownish, Mystic, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll have a special exclusive interview with the president of ABC's own station division, Wendy McMahon. 2-hour edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. RT, if Hulu gives you a second season, how do you want to develop your series?
I can't tell you where it's going, but it does end in a cliffhanger. I have a very good idea of where the series is going to go in the future. It's only going to get more complicated for our young protagonists. You know, they come from a world that they were a little naive. They were kind of woken up into the history, you know, of music and culture, and they use that to rock their world. And now, the second season happens, it's just going to get even more complicated for them as they sort of come out of this sphere of their knowledge and into a lot more of their world is opened up to them. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay. And Andrea, where are you at in terms of future work with Sonar? As I mentioned, the company is on a major run with this show, with Mr. Mercedes, third season on the Audience Network. Hunter's coming up next weekend on Amazon. So what is it next for you?
We have numerous things. We have a couple. We are actually finishing Alien Christmas with Jon Favreau's Netflix. That's going to go probably to air for the Christmas. It's a Christmas movie. We have two other, kids and family movies coming up as well in the next year. And, on the drama side, obviously, Sonar has always a big bucket of projects that are kind of in discussions with networks right now. So it's you're going to hear much more about us certainly in the next, 6 to 12 months.
And one more thing before we go, RT was also involved in the first season of a series that I think is really wonderful, and it's also playing on Hulu, called Find Me in Paris. If you've never seen that series, give it a try. It's a great family show, wonderful cast, filmed in Paris, and it's coming back for a third and final season later this year, and I believe Hulu will be carrying that as well. And we'll keep you posted if we get the producer of that show. It's a really terrific series, a lot of fun. Also, very dance-oriented, I might add. Has a ballerina. It's all about a ballerina who does time travel, and the actress who plays her is a real ballerina, and a terrific one, I might add, too. And she's going to be a star in a big, big way. So we'll keep you posted about the third season of Find Me when it comes on Hulu. But right now, it's Utopia Falls. Check it out, starting today at Hulu on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And for more details about the program online, go to Hulu.com. It's www.hulu.com. And don't forget, High Fidelity also premiered today, again, on your local smart TV set or smart TV device. RT Thorne, Andrea Garfalova, thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on getting Utopia Falls off the air. Hopefully today marks the beginning of a great and long, wonderful run.
Thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Bye.
You're welcome, RT and Andrea. Take care. Have a super weekend.
All right.
RT Turner, Andrea Garfalova, joining us live from Toronto and Jamaica in the Caribbean. On Tomorrow Be Televised. More Tomorrow Be Televised coming away shortly, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Are you interested in a very unusual Western tale? Well, this one should do the trick. It's called Inland by Tia Obrett, and Ed Chunkley from Beep is one of the narrators of this. And you can get it right now through a trial run, a one-month trial run with Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio as well. Remember, all you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get not one, not two, but three free audiobooks, and try them out for a full month with great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And remember, two of those three books come from the growing title of Audible Originals. They're original audio productions, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, and great one-woman and one-person shows. And get this, if you order off the one-month trial a full subscription to Audible.com, a four-month subscription between now and the end of President's Day Monday, you'll get that subscription for $7.95 a month. That's 46%, nearly half the regular per-subscription price. That's right. So if you become a subscriber by President's Day, special offer, 4 months, $7.95 a month, that's nearly half off the subscription price. So now is a great time to hear for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. For that one-month trial, free audiobooks, and more, audibletrial.com/televised. When we come back, a great science fiction classic gets another shot at television on Sunday night with Epics with War of the Worlds. Creator, executive producer, and writer Howard Overman joins us live from England as we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio, speaker, and tuneinradio.com. together, more than 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you're into soccer, check out Pure Seas Fire. It's coming out Monday night, President's Night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Pure Seas Fire. They got a great preview of what's going on in Major League Soccer and a whole lot more Monday night right here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And remember, Best of HR 24/7 comes your way at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Valentine's Day Friday edition 2020. Simon Appleband with you live from New York, 28 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted to have you with us. More science fiction activity coming your way in the half hour ahead. If you have a question or comment for our guest, make the phone ring, 646-652-2906. Number is good anywhere to catch us across the country, around the globe, here on BTR, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, we got our chat room in business for you, SimonApple04 by name. And use the phone or the room. Either way, we will hear you. Also coming up before the half hour is done, we got our classic trivia question of the week. It's fair to say that one of the most adapted science fiction classics of all time in entertainment is The War of the Worlds. Not one of the two famous movies, the one that George Powell did for Paramount Pictures starring Gene Barry in the 50s, then later on the remake that Steven Spielberg directed. It's been done on television in different ways, both as specials and in the late 1980s with a syndicated series that Paramount ran for two seasons. Well, on Sunday night, War of the Worlds is back in a brand new version, a more contemporary version, starring Gabriel Byrne and Elizabeth McGovern. Joining us live from Brighton, England, in an internet radio exclusive, the creator, writer, and executive producer of this series, Howard Oberman. Howard, great to have you here.
Hi, thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Have you been a science fiction fan for all your life, or most of your life?
I'm not sure. I describe myself as a massive science fiction fan. I like probably the softer end of science fiction. I probably read War of the Worlds when I was, 12 or 13 or something for the first time, and it just really sort of struck a chord with me and sort of stuck with me ever since. But I'm not some sort of real hardcore sci-fi fan, but I dip in and out of the genre, I guess.
Why do you think this particular book by H.G. Wells has been adapted so much in so many ways, in television, in film, in radio, on stage? It just seems that it's one of the most easiest things in the world to adapt.
Well, I mean, I think, it's the sort of classic alien invasion book / movie. And, I mean, I think one of the main reasons is that it adapts to its time. Whenever it's being remade, it seems to speak to whatever our sort of concerns and fears are at the time. So when H.G. Wells first did the book, everyone was talking about colonization. And then when it was redone as a radio broadcast in 1950s America, it was very much in the shadow of the Cold War. And then when Spielberg did it, obviously it was after 9/11. And so I think it's one of those things that really sort of speaks to whatever our fears are, and sort of holds a mirror up to us and what we're worried about at the time it's adapted. And when it's interesting, when I've been doing the press for the show in Europe, lots of people had different takes on. They also said, is it about global warming, our fears about global warming, or our fears about immigration? And it's really sort of one of those novels which people very much sort of view through a prism of what they're worried about at the time.
Michael Rice, the president of Epix, formerly with Turner Broadcasting, with TNT, thinks that what you've done with War of the Worlds is, his word, masterful. When you decided, I'm going to take this on, how did you frame this? How did you sort of develop the tale your way?
Well, I'd sort of had this idea for an alien invasion story. There was a sort of concept that I'd been sort of playing around with. And then basically War of the Worlds came out of copyright, which the rules are, I think it's something like 76 years after the author dies, you can use their material outside of copyright. So then the title was available. And it just seemed, a sort of sort of coming together of the idea I'd already been mulling over and this title becoming available. And I wanted to do something which didn't feel possibly like other adaptations. I wanted it to feel incredibly real. And you know the part of the pitch, because I originally pitched it to in Europe to Canal Plus, which is a sort of a French channel. And I was with the guys there, and we were talking about, you know, what would we do if an alien invasion happened outside the door. And I was in Paris, and I was talking about how I'd try and get back to my family, and you'd have to walk through the Channel Tunnel. And it was always done, you know, we wanted to do something which felt incredibly real and not too high concept. And, you know, and that spread right through to the directors we chose and the style of it. And the way it was directed in the casting, we didn't want to do sort of sci-fi in terms of maybe that sort of how sort of Independence Day took on the genre and have sort of huge spaceships flying around. We wanted to feel very intimate and character driven, and that sort of sci-fi often doesn't get done, especially out of Europe. And we wanted to have a sort of very sort of European sensibility, I guess, and be sort of character driven, where we're following sort of small character stories through this huge global event that's happening.
Mm-hmm. You've got two marvelous actors in the lead roles, Gabriel Byrne and Elizabeth McGovern. Was this a case of, you know, they finding you to be part of this, or you finding them? And once you came together, did that impact, you know, altering your writing in any way to sort of bring more character to their characters?
Well, in the case of Gabriel, I mean, I've been a sort of huge fan of Gabriel's from, you know, right from when things like Miller's Crossing is one of my favourite films, and I loved him in that. And you know, you've always got sort of ideal casting in mind, and you know, often that person isn't available or the dates don't match up, and this is one of those sort of moments where actually, you know, sort of, you know, one of the people sort of at the very top of my list was available and wanted to do it, and all the timing worked out, you know, and that, you know, doesn't often happen. And you know Gabriel hasn't done that this sort of show before, and you know, I just thought he was really interesting casting for it. And you know, obviously Elizabeth was coming out of Downton Abbey, which has been a huge hit, and so this is, you know, a total change of direction for her. And you know, she'd just been doing the sort of press for the, you know, Downton Abbey movie, and then she was doing the press for War of the Worlds. So you just couldn't have two more different shows, and it was really interesting to have her on board and pair those two up. And you know, they have this sort of, you know, really interesting sort of relationship and love story sort of set against this sort of, you know, global conflict. And so there's just the sort of chemistry between them was great. And, you know, just one of those things that it just really worked.
We are speaking with Howard Overman, the award-winning writer, creator, and executive producer of the new version of War of the Worlds that will begin this Sunday night, 9:30 Pacific time on Epix. Howard joins us live from Brighton, England this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Abbott with you live from New York. Delighted you were born on this Valentine's Day 2020. A very beautiful and happy one to you and those you love. If you have a question or comment for Howard, well, ring the phone. We'd love to hear from you, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, we're going to be with you on Monday, special President's Day hour for you. On the first half of the hour, from the popular CW series The Flash, co-star Victoria Park. And earlier today, a brand new network premiered on smart TV sets and devices called Soul Vision TV. We'll have an internet radio exclusive interview with its chairman, B.K. Fulton, and its vice chairman. You know him as the actor from WKRP in Cincinnati and the award-winning series Frank's Place on CBS, Tim Reed. That's all coming up Monday. 3:30 to New Pacific, Diamond Hour in store for you. It's better when you're interacting with us right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. In various versions of War of the Worlds, you either know very little about the aliens and why they showed up here to destroy the Earth, or you get a lot about the aliens and what their motivations are. How did you approach the alien side of the tale?
Well, in the first series, I think we, you know, especially at the beginning, we very much used the sort of Steven Spielberg Jaws model, where you don't see very much of them across the series. And when we do meet them, you very, you know, quickly realize that maybe the what you're seeing isn't the sort of actual aliens as such, and maybe it's something else. You know, I don't want to give away too much, but yeah, I mean, you know, I think with these things, the sort of less is more approach, certainly in the first season, where, you know, again, it goes back to this idea that we wanted to feel very real, and once the sort of internet was down and your phone wasn't working, you know, we're used to a culture where, you know, we have access to 24 news and we know what's going on and everything's filmed on smartphones from 20 different angles. And we want to take this back to this sort of world where actually you don't know what's happening anymore. All you know is what's happening right in front of you, and you're trying to piece together and make sense of it all. And and we really wanted to be with the characters and sort of convey that sense of fear and dread, which comes from uncertainty and not knowing, and really strip away that sort of comfort blanket that sort of knowing everything gives us. And so we're very much in the sort of shoes of our characters, and you know, we sort of know what they know. And we don't know any more than that. And the sort of, you know, we learn more, slightly more about the aliens across the series. And then there's a sort of reveal at the end about their nature and intentions. And we pick up on that in the second series where, you know, we will actually sort of tell the story more from the alien, slightly more from the alien point of view.
For people who are unfamiliar with British television, over the years, there's a reputation where usually, particularly if the series is 6 episodes, 8 episodes, 10 episodes, you usually have one writer or writing team doing all of the episodes. In your case, in addition to you writing all 8 episodes, you have one director doing the first 4 and one director doing the next 4. Was that by design?
Yeah, I mean, it was partly that to make we had sort of high ambitions for the show, but obviously, you know, the sort of European budgets aren't as big as American budgets, and we had the idea that we would shoot it in blocks and sort of run these 2 units at the same time, which actually made the money go further, basically. But you know, that meant I had to have all 8 scripts. Ready to go at the start of shooting, which sometimes you don't if you're shooting in blocks. So it was a sort of, you know, deliberate decision, and also we wanted sort of, you know, the directors to have the sort of freedom and space across 4 episodes to really sort of tell their stories rather than just have one director come in and do 1 episode and then another director, because it's obviously a very serialized show, and sometimes I think that continuity works better if a director is directing more than 1 episode. And you know, we found that, you know, having the directors working at the same time meant they were spending time together and talking, and so I think it's, you know, I mean, I like to think it's you know, a fairly seamless transition between the 2 directors in terms of sort of what they brought to it. And you know, and I think they both did a fantastic job. A guy called Gilles Coulier, who's from Belgium, set it up, and then another director called Richard Clark, who's from England, took it over for the last 4 episodes. And you know, I think they both did really great jobs, and hopefully the transition between the 2 directors is fairly seamless.
Because you write all 8 episodes, what kind of freedom does that give you in terms of being able to control the motivation of the characters, where the plot is going, and you don't have to worry about, well, if I do the first episode or 2 and I give it to another writer and then another writer, the whole issue of continuity?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially with a show like this, although, you know, to be honest, even on other shows I've done, like Misfits, I've sort of generally written all, you know, the vast majority, if not all, of the episodes. And, you know, we just do shorter runs, and it just gives you sort of control. But, you know, War of the Worlds, it was, you know, it's obviously very serialized, and the sort of sci-fi strands and clues that run across it needed real sort of thought and continuity, and just having that ability to sort of, you know, move things around without sort of consulting other writers and picking apart what they've done. You know, and it's just something I've always tended to do. You know, I enjoy writing, and I sort of want to write, and there's other bits of the process which, you know, I sort of try and stay out of, but the writing is something that I still very much enjoy, and so maybe there's a bit of control freaker in me that wants to be over every episode.
Mm-hmm. With the series, what do we learn about the human characters? How do they, without giving too much away, how do they develop as people dealing with this attack and trying to come to grips with, you know, why are we? Why is this Earth being targeted? Or why is this Earth being the showdown planet for this battle?
Well, you know, I think, you know, like with a lot of sci-fi dramas, we sort of learn more about sort of humanity when we're invaded by aliens than perhaps we learn about the aliens themselves, because it's, you know, quite often just holds a mirror up to our own moral codes and our own behavior. So, you know, sort of on a global scale, that was always the idea that to look at how we would respond. And I guess, you know, one of the starting points for the show was the quote by Stephen Hawking that said something like, if aliens ever find Earth, then, you know, I guess it might be the same as when, you know, that we found the Native American Indians, and that didn't turn out so well for them. So it was always very much from the point of view of sort of thinking about this in terms of our own humanity. But, you know, there's sort of, it's an ensemble piece. So there's lots of different sort of character journeys from, you know, and again, you know, it was sort of, you know, just sort of taking sort of kernels of ideas. Like, that again, when I was in France first discussing it, we were talking about which one of us, if it had to, would be prepared to go downstairs and kill someone, you know, to get out of the office if there was an alien invasion. And, you know, I wanted it to sort of feel like that if it was sort of regular people, regular guys like me and you, what would we do in these circumstances, and who would crumble and who would rise? And, you know, and there's sort of stories of families and broken relationships. And, you know, I very much wanted people to sort of cling to their humanity, I guess. And, you know, there's a character, for example, who is a immigrant who is traveling from Africa and, you know, enters a lorry on one side of in France, on one side of the English Channel. And the invasion happens while he's in the back of the lorry traveling. And when he comes out into this new world, his skills are incredibly valuable. Whereas before the invasion, he was sort of treated as a criminal. And so it's again, a sort of, the idea was to sort of tell a story about how this event shifted our perception of that character. And suddenly the skills he had were what we needed to survive. And so, you know, it sort of gives a sort of context to characters.
War of the Worlds, the brand new version of the classic H.G. Wells novel, is coming on Epix this Sunday night, 9:10 Eastern Pacific Time. And we're speaking with the award-winning writer, creator, and executive producer of the series, Howard Overman. He joins us live from Brighton, England this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Abel, we're live from New York on Valentine's Day 2020. Wherever you are, I hope you, your family, and loved ones have a lovely and wonderful Valentine's Day and weekend. And if you have a question or comment or remaining minutes with Howard Overman, make the call. Spread some love around, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, next Friday, 1 week from today, we'll have a two-hour edition for you, starting at a regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Joining us in the first hour, among others, will be the executive producer and choreographer of the new Disney Channel series, Disney Fam Jam, Phil Wright. In our second hour, we'll kick it off with the executive producer of a new Nat Geographic special coming up later this month called The Hidden Kingdom of China, narrated by Michelle Yeo. Ashley Heppen will join us. And we may have one of the producers who worked on site in China for this special. And finally, on Monday, President's Day, a brand-new linear network will premiere among the ABC-owned television stations on the multicast channel. It's called Localish. It's got everything from local hotspots to incredible people doing some amazing things for the rest of humanity. We will have an exclusive live interview with the president of the ABC-owned TV stations unit, Wendy McMahon. We'll talk about Localish. We'll talk about some other projects in store for her local stations. And we'll find out how local stations may fare in this era of plentiful television. That's all coming up 1 week from today, right here, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I understand that already a second season has been granted. How do you want to expand the story in the second season, especially when we know that when the aliens attack, the aftermath is you see the Earth being sort of separated into these sectors of surviving humanity.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've been very lucky and very fortunate that we've already got a second series. So, I think what becomes clear across the series is that, you know, there's basically three story strands at the start of series one. And the idea was always that we were watching sort of what seemed like quite small stories and people reacting to this. But as the stories progress, we slowly start to realize that what we're watching has much bigger implications than we thought, and gradually these stories and strands will merge into one storyline across the series, and we'll sort of realize that actually what we've been watching, you know, has huge implications and had huge influence on, you know, the global events. So we start off at a sort of micro level and slowly go forward and realize that sort of the small, what seemed like small decisions our characters were making were actually feeding into a much bigger story, and that the three strands converge into sort of one narrative.
Mm-hmm. You know, Howard, in the last few weeks, I've been watching reruns on YouTube of what I think is a fantastic series called Have Gun, Will Travel, starring Richard Boone. It was on CBS from 1957 to 1963. And one of the hallmarks of the show is how literate the show is. How the characters have a lot of richness, a lot of detail in a half-hour show. And you had writers like Harry Julian Fink, who created Dirty Harry. You have Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek a couple years after he did that show. Sam Rockwell, who went to The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Really good writers who were willing to be very literate in a half hour and give you so much richness and character. And I'm wondering, you know, given that this project is from a literary background, you know, how much gravitas did you bring, or literacy did you bring to making this show happen?
I'm not quite sure I understand the question. How much of the book did I bring to it, or
how much of literate to really make a literate presentation in terms of the quality of character, quality of plot, quality of storyline to bring to this?
I guess our sort of starting point was, you know, I know it sounds strange that, you know, we've got a show called War of the Worlds, but I guess the starting point was in a strange way character and a couple of stories that I'd always had in my head before we sort of put the sort of grand title of War of the Worlds on top of it. So it, you know, it's very much from a sort of character perspective. In all the sort of higher concept shows I've done, like things like Misfits, you know, and I think the same applies to War of the Worlds, that I always try and have a rule that if the big global, you know, sci-fi event, you know, or whatever wasn't happening, would these characters have a rich and interesting story without it? And always try and make sure that stacks up, that no matter what the sort of genre you're working in, that the story, you know, the characters, the stories would stand alone. And if you stripped out the genre elements, would there still be an interesting story there? So that's sort of, I guess, that no matter what genre I'm working in, I always try and make sure that the characters, you know, have a sort of rich tapestry to work with, that if you stripped out the sci-fi elements, you know, it would still hold the audience's interest.
That tapestry comes alive starting Sunday night on Epix, 9 p.m. Eastern at Pacific Time. The new version of The War of the Worlds, the 8-episode series, begins again Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Epix. Check your local news for where that service is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details online, go to www.epix.com. That's www.epix.com. War of the Worlds this Sunday, kicking off 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Howard Overman, the creator, executive producer, and writer of the series, thank you again for joining us from Brighton, England. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Good luck with this series. Hopefully it will be a winner, and I'm happy you got the second season. So I hope this is the beginning of a great long run for you and everybody involved.
Great. Well, thank you very much for having me, and I hope you all enjoy the show.
Will do. Take care, Howard. Happy Valentine's Day, and a superb weekend to you.
Right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Howard Overman, creator, executive producer, writer of War of the Worlds, coming away from Brighton, England this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised. Time for our Clap and Tree question before we leave you on this Valentine's Day. If you know the answer, you get the 5-second rule, the book by author and popular syndicated talk show host Mel Robbins. Here's the question. We've been showing it to you for the last week and a half, almost 2 weeks or so. What local TV co-host became co-star on The Jeffersons? What local TV co-host became co-star on The Jeffersons? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, when you enter, enclose your name and your full mailing address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. Once again, that question, what local TV co-host became co-star on The Jeffersons? So email with the answer, first correct answer wins, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you missed the question, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so and all the best. And no matter what, on Monday, we will add as a prize the new Tommy Davidson book, the co-star of Living Color, the book Living with Color. So no matter what, we'll have that as a prize starting Monday on our President's Day edition of Tomorrow We Televise. Again, thank you to all of our guests making this science fiction Valentine's Day edition great for you and everybody else. We're back on Monday, President's Day, and we will be live with the co-star of The Flash, Victoria Park, and from the new network Soul Vision TV, available on smart TV sets and devices as of today, Chairman B.K. Fulton and Vice Chairman Tim Reed. Yes, that Tim Reed of WKRP in Cincinnati, Sister Sister, and Frank's Place fame. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, make it very easy for you. You can join us anytime you like the rest of this Valentine's Day and throughout the weekend at www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, check out the podcast coming your way shortly on iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. And for the latter, remember, just go to their websites, put Tomorrow We Televise in the search bar, and click, and you get our episodes right then and there. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our science fiction episode today? What's your thoughts about where TV is going and where it's headed? We'd love to know. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. I do respond to your email and social media thoughts within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate, BTR, is Candace Williams. Andy Toad's Blog Talk Radio General Manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, Executive Content Producer. The co-founders of BTR are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For free audiobooks and a one-month trial and a great present they offer, still available from now till Monday, get a four-month subscription you save off the per-month price. Audible.com/televise. That's audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. We wish you a very wonderful rest of your Valentine's Day and weekend. We are back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, special President's Day edition, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great. And don't forget, if you can't be with the one you love, as Stephen Sills used to say, love the one you're with. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.